welcome to the AOL podcast. Let's dive right into this week's message.
The miracle worker, promise keeper. You know, I think it's so good that they sang that, especially along with the message that God put in my heart for this morning. You know, I had this burning in my heart. This actually began Friday night as I was coming up here for the men's deal of what I would share. And the Lord showed me something I'm going to show you here in just a minute. But this morning I got up, and the first text message that I had was from Daryl Gaddy telling me that Andrew Ramirez went to be with Jesus. I'm not going to lie, it hurt me. You know, there's just things that I'd never tell you not to ask questions. And sometimes I'm curious about life, death, eternity. But I always encourage myself to always look to the Word of God. Amen. And the wonderful things it teaches us about God's love and His amazing plan for our life. And I have to remind myself in those times, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9, it says, we know in part, but we prophesy in part. We don't know everything. Deuteronomy 29, 29 says, the secret things belong to God. And so, I'll tell you, my faith is stirred and encouraged because of Andrew. When he was 22 years old, he was told that he had terminal cancer. 22 years old, brand new dad, two kids, and they told him he had terminal cancer, and they said, well, we need to tell you what's going to happen. He said, no, you won't tell me what happens. You will not tell me how long I'll live on this earth. Can I tell you, he stood in faith. There were so many times he didn't feel good, but he'd be in the house of God. He always, always, always in the house of God. He walked out. He walked by faith and not by sight. I saw it to the very end of his life. And there's some things I definitely don't understand. I'm much better than I was in the first service. I was a basket case. Just because he's my friend. But as a dad, So would you do something with me? I may not understand, but it was good for me to sing this morning. Waymaker. He's still, I don't care. He's still the waymaker. He's still the miracle worker. He's still the promise keeper. He's still the light and darkness. And I promise you right now, that's what Andrew's singing. The feet of Jesus. So would you do something with me? Would you? God, we just lift up this family to you. I pray for Daryl. I pray for Melanie. I pray for his children. I pray that they would taste and see that the Lord is good and that his mercy endures forever. I just pray, God, that through all of this, I know unbelief could try to sweep in. But I pray for faith to rise up inside of that home. I pray, God, that what the enemy has tried to make it look out for evil, God, you're going to turn around for good. And I just pray right now, Lord, we commit this life into your spirit, this spirit into your hands. And Lord, you said to be thankful in all seasons, and I thank you, God, for the deposits that Andrew made into my life to fight the good fight of faith. To stand when it had been easy to sit. But he stood the test of time. And so, Lord, I just pray for that family. Bless them and keep them. Your face shine upon them. Be gracious to them and give them peace. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that as the word goes forth this morning, that it accomplish what it's meant and sent to do. I pray for belief to rise up in this room. I come against the spirit of unbelief. I come against the spirit of unbelief. Before I even begin, I take spiritual jurisdiction over this room and I pray belief and say good morning. Oh, you're looking good. Lie to them if you have to. Say, oh man, you're looking good. Wow. Oh yeah. Good morning.
Love you.
Love you. And they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Well, if you're new here and you haven't been here over the last maybe a couple of weeks, haven't been here, we are in a series called Release the Spirit. Everybody say release. And one of the things that I'm seeing, I've seen for many years in my walk with Christ, but also being in leadership and being a pastor, I see people that, like just this last weekend, I believe there was many, many men that were set free from pornography. I believe there was people that were set free from that spirit of lust. Like I know there is men that love the Lord, and I really truly believe that they love God, and they love their spouse, and they love their family, but there's been a hook in them since they were young. And really what it is it's demonic and it's demonized. And how many of y'all know we serve a God of deliverance that wants to deliver us? And I believe there was men that were delivered this last weekend, testimonies and things like that. But it could be anger, it could be anything else. But there is just something on the inside of you. It's like in the book of Romans, it says this, I don't do what I want to do, but... or I do what I don't want to do and I don't do what I want to do. It's because there's something on the inside that's controlling. But I believe the Spirit of God will raise up a banner, and the Spirit of God, there is power to come against these spirits that are trying to torment us. And in the first week we were here, we talked about a spirit of Jezebel. And I believe the spirit of Elijah is rising up to come against that and see that. Talked about a spirit of fear. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Last week, if you were here, or maybe if you weren't, I want to encourage you to listen to it, but it talked about a spirit of rejection. There's a spirit of abandonment that people can go through, and it will stop them from really, truly receiving all the gifts and blessings God has given us. How many of y'all know all the gifts and blessings that God gives to me can give to you? Three amens. By the end of this, we're going to have more of you. But this is really what God's put on my heart. This kind of want to start out in Jude verse 3 as we were planning for the men's conference. Pastor Kay came over to my house and we just began to prepare. And I said, this is a scripture that just keeps coming back to me. Because I really want people to really be ready. Like, are people really ready if there was like a cyber attack in America? Like, this is why it's so important you get one of these babies right here. Because if there was a cyber attack in America, you're not going to get the verse of the day by this. Right? You're going to have to learn how to use one of these. And know how to navigate some things inside of there. I'm being honest, because like I'm hearing this from people in the military that the military is amping up for war. And what if war came to the United States of America? Like it never has before, but really what if it did? Like what if some things happened to where you really couldn't rely on your 1911 to protect you? Would you stand on Psalm 91 that no evil befall me and no weapon formed against me shall prosper? Like we need to be ready, because in Matthew 24, it's not telling us that things are going to get better. Things are only going to get worse. But you know what? I'm not going to live in fear, because of the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of me, and greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And so in Jude 3, he says this. He says, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, and how many of y'all know salvation is a great topic? How many of y'all are thankful for 2 Corinthians 5:17? I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. All right, two of you. I don't know about you, but I'll shout it from the rooftops. I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm delivered. But he said, as much as I wanted to talk to you about how great that is and how we're sealed by the Spirit and thankful for all of that, he said, it came over me. I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith that was once set for all time, handed down to the saints. It says this, and man, if you've watched anything on social media or YouTube or anything like that, you know this to be true. In verse 4, it says, for certain people have crept in unnoticed, Those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons are people who turn the grace of our God into indecent behavior and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. What he's saying right here, he said, as much as I wanted to talk to you about your salvation, the Lord put it on my heart that I need to talk to you about contending or fighting for the faith that was once delivered to the church of the book of Acts. You know why it's called the book of Acts? Because of the acts that were there, but it's also the acts because it's the same acts that we should still be walking in authority in today. How many of y'all know the blind should still see, the lame should still walk, the mute should still speak? People should still be delivered. The same things that happened in the book of Acts, I believe, should still happen today. But there's something that's creeped in unnoticed, and he's just giving us a warning. He's saying, church, wake up, and you need to contend and fight for the faith. You need to fight for your legacy. You need to fight for the inheritance that I've already given you. See, the New Testament church was birthed out of a supernatural. It was birthed out of a prayer meeting. It was birthed out of an encounter. You shall receive the Holy Spirit when it comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. The church changed the whole community. Can I tell you, there's enough power in Arena of Life Church to change Potter County, to change Randall County. They don't have to stay the same. Come on, I believe that the Spirit of God is in this house, and I believe this church has the ability to change lives because of the Spirit of God that dwells inside of this place. And as I look through the book of Acts, I see it was a wave of miracles. I see it was the power. I see it was the presence of God. But when you lose faith or you stop exercising faith, it all can come to a stop. I don't know about you, but I refuse to be ordinary. Come on, I have an extraordinary God living on the inside of me. Oh, second service, y'all, wait, come on. Come on, I'm going to say it again. I refuse to be ordinary. I have an extraordinary King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, Jehovah Nisi, the God of victory, Jehovah Sikkenu, my righteousness, living on the inside of me. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. This is it. As God has allotted to each, everybody say, I'm each. All right? Not like an itch, but like an each. Allotted to each a measure of faith. Can I tell you, when you ask Jesus to come live on the inside of you, forgive you as far as the east is from the west, the Holy Spirit gives you a portion or what it says right here, a measure of faith. I mean, I'll thank for that. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now faith is substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And he says, when you become a believer, there is a portion of faith that each and every one of you get. One doesn't get more than the other because of your past sins. How many are thankful for forgiveness? One doesn't get more because of what they were born into. One doesn't get more because of their color of skin. One doesn't get more because of their nationality. All of us in the kingdom of God get the same portion and the same measure of faith. But it says faith without works is dead. And so I want to tell you, I want to ask you this morning, is your faith growing? Is your faith growing? Listen, you should not be, if you've been saved for 24 hours, I hope you have just a little more faith than you did when you started. Amen. If you've been saved for 48 hours, you've heard me say this before, and it's one of my favorite things, but Johnny, I love outlaw country. Bible says on the fourth day, Merle Haggard started writing songs. But Johnny Cash, he has that song when he's talking about building the Cadillac. Well, and when his wife asked him, or they asked him when he goes in to get tags on, they said, well, what year model is it? Well, it's a 61, 62, 63, 64, 65. All the old people in the room is like, yes, that's when music was music. Keep singing. Can I tell you, in your faith, you ought to say this. When somebody comes to you and says, how do you have faith to believe God for your finances, for your marriage, for your young one to come back to the land of the living? because you can say in 2000, I was believing God for this, and God made a way when there seemed to be no way. Then 2001 hit, and if 2000 didn't happen, I wouldn't have the faith that I have in 2001. And now you're looking at 2008 and 2009 and 2010. Now you're in 2024, and for 25 years, your faith has not gone dormant, but your faith is increasing. How many of y'all know we ought to go from, the Bible tells us we go from faith to faith. The Bible tells us we ought to go from glory to glory. We ought to go from strength to strength. I'm not, listen, you ain't gonna get stronger unless you exercise. And when you exercise faith, in fact, I was just thinking about this, just in the resurrections that happened during Jesus' ministry, as he exercised faith as a son of God, they got bigger and better. I think about the boy that was dead at Nain. The Bible says he went to his casket and he laid hands on the casket. They'd never seen this before. And he asked him to rise up, and the Bible says that he rose from the dead. But then I remember Mark chapter 5, Jairus' daughter, she had just died. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I'm not going to go into the details till here in a minute. But what I love about that particular text, the Bible says he got all the unbelief out of the room and she raised from the dead. And then we have John chapter 11. He was D-E-D dead. Like real dead. Like stinky dead. Like just the Thriller dead. Michael Jackson dead. All right? Or I should say O.J. Simpson dead. I shouldn't say that. All right. But I'm sorry. Sometimes I just speak out loud. I didn't mean to. But squirrel. He was dead. 4 days dead. Gone. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. See, I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't know that, I know he is the Son of God, and I may be talking out of terms, but as he began to exercise his faith, big things, better things. Can I tell you, with man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I'm just here to tell you this morning, I'm trying to encourage somebody, but maybe you've backed off on your faith. But I want to tell you this morning, your faith will only grow, but you've got to exercise it, and you can't exercise it just in one realm of your life. Come on, how many of y'all know God wants to be a part of every part of it? From your finances to your health to your marriage to driving down Coulter Street. How many of y'all need, somebody needs the Lord on Coulter Street. Listen, and this is what began to birth this inside of my heart. As I was coming here Friday night, I had y'all come next week. I'm going to talk about the spirit of mammon. And that was truly on my heart. But as I was coming here, the Lord reminded me of two different passages of Scripture. There's only two times that Jesus was amazed in all of his ministry. If you've studied the old King James, it says this, that he marveled. The first time that we see this is in Matthew chapter 8. I'll go ahead and go there. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to go ahead and go there. It says this. This is about a centurion. And he comes to him. This centurion comes to Jesus, and he said, hey, my servant at home, which we know this to be someone that he is close to, he's paralyzed and he's tormented. And Jesus says to him, yeah, I'll come to your house and heal him. But the centurion replied this. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word. My servant will be healed, for I am also a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. What was he amazed at? He was amazed at the belief that this centurion servant had, the faith that he had. Now, there's another one in Mark chapter 6. Of a time that Jesus is amazed as well. And he's in his hometown in Nazareth. And the Bible says in verse 3 that as he shows up there, there's people that, many people that are around. And they said in verse 3, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are his sisters not here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not dishonored except in his hometown and among his own relatives. See, this is a gift of the flesh, or I should say a curse of the flesh that we all have. And it's a curse of lackadaisical, or it's a curse of, what's the word I'm looking for? Familiarity. Familiarity. I tell you, it's in this room right here. Like you've checked off the list. We're going to have worship. Check. Pastor's going to come up, share a few things. Check. He's going to say a few humorous things. I really like it when he makes me laugh. I'm just trying to get your attention. Then Pastor Robert's going to come up. You know how I know you're in familiarity? We have people call all week long. I didn't know you were having a men's thing. Have you been in church, you doofus? Because what happens is Pastor Robert comes up and he talks about singles. That may only hit 10% of the people in the room. Well, I'm not a part of that 10%. So they shut out. Then they shut out for the next thing. It's talking about the men's conference. Because why? It's familiarity. And we get so comfortable being in the same place. Can I tell you, God's not going to move until you get uncomfortable. Till you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so what amazes me here, the Bible says, and he could not do any miracles there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. This is the Son of God. But verse 6 says, and he was amazed at their unbelief. There's two ways that you can amaze the Lord. Number one is believing. The other way is unbelieving. I don't know about you, but I want to do the thing that unlocks miracles in my life. How many of y'all want to amaze the Lord this morning? Come on, I want to ask the question, who wants to amaze the Lord with me this morning? You know what amazes God is belief. Open your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to talk about a spirit of unbelief today. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 16. I'm going to really hit on 19, but it says, "For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief." Now I want you to think about it. I mean, this isn't talking about the Cowboys. We don't believe in them. Especially after the pick that they had this last week. They had all the options in the world, but still, the Cowboys are still stupid. I need to move on. But not these guys. These guys had seen come split the Red Sea. How many of y'all know that would kind of make you believe? And they had every opportunity, but they didn't go into the land flowing with milk and honey only because of one thing. To whom did God say, you shall not enter the rest of the promised land, the abundance of milk and honey? You know, I would have thought it would have been those who worshiped idols, which, you know, they had a problem with that, who didn't have, or maybe didn't have morning devotions. I would have thought it would have been immoral men or women, those that didn't offer sacrifices. Yet in reality, the only thing that kept the children of Israel from the promised land was their lack of faith. This is important. This is critical, important theology. For the singular sin that kept them from blessing was simply thinking God's promise was just too good to be true. People, listen to me. You can live the abundant, spirit-filled, successful, exciting, thrilling Christian life if, instead of thinking that God can't bless you because you haven't been to Bible study, because you've been yelling at your husband, that was by the Spirit of God for somebody, or because you haven't had morning devotions regularly, is what you say. You're saying this, I'm a spiritual grasshopper. But if you want to bring in, if you want to go into this great land of blessing, all you got to say is, God, I gladly go in. See, the sin of Hebrews 3 is singular. It's not fornication. But how many of y'all know that's very destructive sin? It's not idolatry. And as sad as that sin is, this is what it boils down to. And this is where fornication and idolatry can come from. They simply did not believe how good God was. Can I tell you, no matter what's happening in this earth, what's happening in my life, can I tell you with all confidence this morning, God is good. Can I say, shout from the rooftops? God is good. No matter what's happening in Washington, D.C., no matter what's happening in the Texas Senate, no matter what's happening in Texas Stadium. Come on, somebody. God is good. How many of y'all know we serve a good God? All right, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, it says this. Therefore, so it's so important that we read that because we see why it's therefore. Let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. In verse 3, for indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. See, in verse 1, he says, let us fear if. What should we be afraid of? Simply of this. This is what you need to be afraid of. Simply of limiting the Holy One of Israel due to unbelief. Israel did not believe God would lead them into the promised land and give them victory over the giants that surrounded them. See, I'm telling you, we must fear if. This is the warning that's coming from the writer of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews. He said, be afraid of being someone who doesn't believe God is good and that he has provided rest in his son, Jesus. Then we go to verse 2. Let's read it together. For indeed, put it up on the screen. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us. How many of y'all believe in this house there's been some good news that's been preached to you? But it says, just as they also did, they did too. But the word they heard did not benefit them because they were not united with those who listened with faith. See, the word gospel here, good news, is the good news for the children of Israel was that there was a land flowing with milk and honey. And can I tell you, that's still good news for us. The promises of God are yes and amen. There's still a promise for us of a land flowing with milk and honey, where God will bless you and keep you, his face shine upon you, be gracious to you and give you peace. But there's going to be obstacles. And can I tell you, there's still obstacles today. But God promised them victory if they just simply believed. But they said, but we're only grasshoppers. And the grasshopper mentality still paralyzes people today. Yeah. I'm not a man of this. I'm not doing that. I can't receive God's blessing on my life because I'm blowing it here. Or I must be bugging God because of this. See, no, according to this text, it was not their shortcomings that kept the children of Israel from entering the land of promise. It was their failure to mix God's promises with faith. What will keep you from enjoying the best blessings in your family or in your ministry? Simply not believing what God says. Maybe you have a cross wall in your living room. Maybe you have a picture of Jesus and you have the scripture that says he'll supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus on your back pocket. Whoop-dee-doo. You know God said he would provide all your needs, that all things work together for good of those who love God or called according to his purpose in Romans chapter 8, and that he is with you even to the end of the world. But these promises will not do you any good until you stop saying, well, what's the catch? This can't be true for me. I'm nothing but a grasshopper. What does it mean to mix the gospel with faith? I think there's a great explanation for this we see in the book of Acts chapter 12. If you want to, go ahead and go there with me. But in Acts chapter 12, this is a great analogy of this. Peter is arrested for preaching the gospel, and he's locked up. The Bible tells us in verse 6, on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. I mean, y'all know you've done real bad, and you're not only locked up, but they have the guards sleeping beside you. Bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near Peter, and a light shone in his cell. I mean, I don't know, that'll wake you up. Yep. And he struck Peter's side and woke him and said, get up quickly. I want you to notice something, because his faith on the inside of him of seeing that light, he gets up quickly, and then it says, and then the chains fell off. See, this is an activation of faith. Without faith, faith without works is dead. And so when he told him to get up, I believe because of that stepping out of faith, he gets up. But this, it goes on, it says, getting up quickly, his chains fell off his hands, and the angel said to him, put on your belt and strap on your sandals. We got places to go and people to see. And he did so, and he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and continued to follow, and yet he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real. Can I tell you, there's been people, I've seen God turn their marriage around. I've seen God do it. I've seen God heal people's bodies. But yet, they think to themselves, well, maybe it was the medicine. I mean, y'all know, we serve, thank God for medicine. Aren't you thankful for medicine and doctors and all those different things? But how can we call him the healer if he doesn't heal? How can we call him the deliverer if he's not, doesn't deliver? And this is what happens lots of times. See, they're still in unbelief, but thank God, God still has mercy on each and every one of you, us. But then, it not only happens there. In verse 11, it says, when Peter came to himself, he said, now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people were expecting. Verse 12, and when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Hey, this is a house of prayer. I don't know if you know that, but we get together on the first Sunday night of every month, and you're all invited. Yeah. Aren't they, Sharon? All of you, guys, like every one of y'all. You're all invited to prayer. And what are they doing? They're believing God for Peter to get out. And the Bible says this, and when he realized this, he goes to this house where they're all gathered together praying, and when he knocked on the door of the gate, a slave woman named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. They said to her, you are out of your mind. What's the point of praying if you don't believe? Come on, I'm going to just ask you the question. What's the point of praying if you don't believe? You know what we do as a body? We pray and we believe God for unbelievers to come through that door all the time. But you need to know this. When they come through the door, they may not look like you. They may not smell like you. They may not dress like you. So we can't be like Rhoda when they finally come through the door and go, oh, my God, what are they doing here? We need to look through that door and say, we've been believing God for you to show up. I believe today is the hour that you come back to the land of the living. I'm believing that today is your day of victory. But what happened? They were praying, but they still had a little bit of unbelief inside of their heart. Like there's no way, this is what I heard, that he's not only locked up in prison, but I heard that there's two guards beside him. Can I tell you, there's miracles that are showing up the door, and God has given you windows that I am working in your life, but you still don't believe. Come on, we've got to fix our attention that God is good. And I'm here to tell you that God wants us to go into a land flowing with milk and honey, but we ain't going to go there until we start believing. Come on, we've got to mix it. We've got to mix the gospel with faith. You have to believe the word. Look at your neighbor and say, I believe. Look at your neighbor and say, I believe. You've got to let your faith connect with the word. Not only that, but you've got to be a doer of the word. See, in Numbers chapter 13, I've been alluding to this, but you can go there if you want to. But God told their grandpappy's pappy, Abraham, that you'll go to a land flowing with milk and honey. And so what Moses does is this. I want you to go to the land. I want you to spy it out. All 12 tribes of Israel, he took a spokesperson from all of them. And there's 10 that come back and they say, hey, it's great. They got grapes as big as us. Come on. They got all kinds of good stuff, but we are surrounded by enemies. There's honey there. There's milk there. There's like these resorts. And people will bring you drinks whenever you want them. I mean, all kinds of snacks and all kinds of good stuff, but there's all kinds of guys around us. I mean, there's the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites. There's even termites. There's lions and tigers and bears. Hey, I knew y'all was awake. And 10 of them was like, dear God in heaven, they're going to eat us. There's no way we look like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. They're so big, but there was two of them, Joshua and Caleb. And they said this, yeah, they're big. But you remember how big God was when he pulled us out of Egypt? See, I know y'all believed up until this point, but when the going gets tough, what's going to get you into the promised land is when you still believe even though you're surrounded by enemies. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like the 10. Because what will happen is, as you get around the 10, you'll start thinking like the 10. And the reason that they didn't go in was because of the 10 unbelief. It doesn't matter that there was two that believed. And so that's why it's important that we get unbelief out of this room. Because upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm going to come to a house of God that believes that the same miracles that Jesus did in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the still miracles that God does today. So get your unbelieving Heine to start believing in Jesus' name that he's still a miracle worker. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody this morning. You need to wake up. Joshua and Caleb said, if God is with us, we will win. They may be big, but they ain't bigger than my God. The spirit of unbelief stopped a whole nation from walking in the fullness of God. Well, Pastor, what is unbelief? It's simple. It's without faith. It's unfaithful. It's a position of the heart that won't trust God over a certain area. You know, when I think about, there's several different scenarios through the word that unbelief crept in. In Matthew chapter 17, when they're at Caesarea Philippi, there's a demon-possessed boy that gets ahead and comes to the disciples. The Bible says they try to cast and rebuke this devil. Jesus shows up on the scene, does it like that. And the disciples are discouraged by this, and they come to him. And they come to Jesus privately, and they said, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, because of your meager faith. New King James says, because of your unbelief. What were they doing? They were caught up in their circumstances. Can I tell you, it's very easy too. I've been around some demon-possessed people before that's got all up in my face like slithering snot bubbles out of their mouth saying, I don't like you. Can I tell you, it can be a little bit overwhelming. But I'm going to say it again. It may look big, but it ain't bigger than my God. It may look big. What were they doing? They were looking at their circumstances, and Jesus gives them the answer. This is what it is, guys. And I believe he does this with all humility and grace because this is the way the Lord treats me. You're caught up in your circumstances, and because of it, you're looking at it rather than walking by faith and not by sight. You have little bitty faith. In Mark chapter 8, I love this passage of text of the man that was healed of blind eyes, and Jesus spat in his eyes, or that's old King, he spit. That's how we say it in West Texas. He spits in his eyes, but one of the things that we miss sometimes about this particular text is, and he says, what do you see? He said, I see men like trees walking, and then he prays for him again, and his physical eyes come to him. There's a spiritual concept to this, but the Lord showed me out of Psalm chapter 1, that we'd be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth due fruit in due season. Spiritually, God sees us as trees. How many of y'all know it's good to have a foundation in the washing of the water of the word? And as you do, you grow and you flourish. You increase in faith. And what he did was, is he prayed for him and he said, what do you see? I see men like trees walking. He opened the eyes of his spirit and then he opened the eyes of his flesh. Was he healed the first time? I believe he was. Because how many of y'all know you'd be better off walking or looking through the eyes of your spirit than you would any day looking through your flesh? And so in this particular text, you know what I really felt brought it on? It says in verse 23 of Mark chapter 8, taking the man who was blind by the hand, he brought him out of the village. Then he spit on his eyes. The reason he took him out, I believe, is because he led him out of the town so he could experience breakthrough, because if he stayed where he was, there was too much unbelief around. I love the story of Mark chapter 5. If you've never studied before, but it's one of my favorite texts as a daddy. Because how many of y'all know there is times where you need the Lord to come to your house? And so what happens is he hears that his daughter is about to die, and he goes and gets in the presence of God. And he says, all right, let's go back to my house. And as they're on their way, the Bible says a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years comes and distracts Jesus. And can I tell you, as a dad, I would have been thinking to myself, you've bled for 12 years. You can bleed for one more minute. We need to get to my house. My daughter is sick. But you know what? Even with all the circumstances and the distractions, can I tell you, Dad, not only is it important that you get in the presence of God, that when everything hell is breaking loose around you, when you need him the most, that you stay in the presence of God. They came to him and said, hey, your daughter has already died. Why don't you give up? And you know, there's been many times in my life where it's like, man, I could throw in the towel, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay in the presence of God. And they get back to the house, and the Bible says this in verse 40, and they began laughing at him, but putting them all outside. What did he do? He got unbelief out of the room. He took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was in bed. The Bible says, in taking the child by the hand, he said to her, Talith kum, which translated, little girl, I say to you, get up and immediately. Everybody say immediately. Immediately, she got up. Can I tell you, he's still in the miracle working business. But where there is unbelief, it ain't gonna happen. Can I tell you, the spirit of unbelief is at work in the earth today? It's still at work. It's at work sometimes in this church. It's at work in people's hearts today. How do we see it and know that it's at work? I just want to give you a few things and I'll be out of your hair. When people deny the supernatural, that is a sign of the spirit of unbelief. Just like Peter showing up at the door. What are you doing here? Well, I heard you've been praying for me. When people deny that he's the healer, that's a sign of unbelief. Here's number two. When they deny everything they can't see or explain, the whole sense of your belief in God is based solely on faith. Here's another one. Spirit of unbelief is when people become blinded to who Jesus is. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 that he's blinded the minds of the unbeliever. And so, can I tell you, one of the ways that we can divert this is, that's why it's so important for us as believers to pray. How many of y'all know prayer works? How many of y'all know prayer can stop some things? How many of y'all know prayer can intercede on behalf? Well, Pastor, how do you pray for him? I pray that God would circumcise their heart. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 6 says, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and that they may live. I pray that God would give them a heart of flesh. How many of y'all believe in God for some people to come back to Jesus, all right? This is what you do. You pray that God would give them a heart of flesh, according to Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 9, that he would replace that heart of stone to a heart of flesh. You pray that God would put his spirit within them. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You pray that they would come to Christ. Jesus said to him, John 14, 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You pray Acts 16 and verse 14, pray that God would open their hearts to believe the gospel. The Bible says the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. You pray that God would free them from slavery of sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. You also pray that they would that God would remove Satan's blinding influence. We already looked at it, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. You pray that God would grant them repentance. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 25 says, God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth. You won't get anywhere by just witnessing. Come on, how many of y'all know there's some people we need to start engaging in prayer for? In Jesus' name. Somebody come up here and play. So I'll shut up. So you can be at the buffet by 12:30. I'll get you out before that. I also see this. I see the spirit of unbelief at work in somebody when it's hard for people to receive a miracle. I see, because there is no faith in their heart, there's people that come forth, what do you believe in God for? And there's no scripture that they're standing on, that they're quoting every single day, that they're believing that really God can heal me of this. God can deliver me from this. Here's another one where you see the spirit of belief. When you complain and criticize, let me say it to the people in the back. When you complain, when you criticize, what's happening is you just can't see how God could do anything about your current situation. Because in your heart, you're saying this: God can't be trusted. Here's another one. There's a spirit of unbelief. When you panic at a bad report, you're of a new kingdom now. Your mama and your mama's mama and your mama's 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 mama may have panicked and smoked 3 Virginia Slims at the same time. Had a glass of bourbon. Oh, my God. Can I tell you the reason I know that? Because I had a granny that did it. Oh, I thank God for my granny. But dear Lord in heaven, that's the last person I'd call and tell her a bad report. Bah! Come on, we're not to live at the standards of the world. We're in a different kingdom. Doctor, that may be the facts, but I'm going to stand in faith. That may have what happened, and I don't even need to know any of the details. But I'm not going to panic. I was so thankful. We were at Disney World this year, and we were about to get on the ride, the Blue People ride. Avatar. We were about to get on that. Duke, what are those called? The Banshee. I was about to get on the Banshee. And my friend calls me, and he tells me, I'm telling you, if I was to tell you what he told me, he got this same phone, 2 phone calls back to back. He was being sued. And another one, I won't even go into it, but it was heavy. And he said, Travis, I'm going to tell you, everything in me wants to freak out, but the promises of God are yes and amen. I just want to connect with somebody in belief that God is going to get me out of this. I went, yes, finally somebody gets it. How many of y'all know there's enough faith in here no matter what you're going through? It may be big, but it's not bigger than your God. Here's another one. You know, belief, when you become independent or self-sufficient, listen, you won't make it another minute without God. Here's another one. When you have a victim mindset, when you're blaming everyone for everything, that's a spirit of unbelief that can get on you real quick. Where does this unbelief go? I'll tell you, one of the greatest places it likes to go is to a religious environment. You know, I pray that AOL never gets to be religious. Well, over my dead body, it ever will. You know, one of the things that I loved about this men's conference? I loved it. We had Stephen McCorder here. And if you hadn't heard Stephen McCorder, I'm going to have him come. I told him last night, I said, you've got to come to the church. He said, well, you've never invited me. I said, well, my bad. He's got like 1 million followers. I mean, a big, big following. And call of God is all over his life. But what I love about people like him, he ain't no better than anybody else. He's eating with all the guys, wasn't he, Pastor Robert? He's walking around like he was just somebody else. Can I tell you, he is a somebody if you look at it from that standpoint. But there was nothing religious about it. It was relationship. I love that. But I think of John chapter 11, when Jesus raises up Lazarus and he comes out of the grave, what's the very first thing the Sadducees and the Pharisees did? We've got to kill this guy because they didn't believe. Where does the spirit of unbelief go? It goes to environments of intelligence. Those who trust in their intellect. Can I tell you how many times I've been praying for somebody to be filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Times I've stopped them before. See, it's easy for me because I'm a redneck hillbilly, not very smart at all. But people that are smart, they're like Nacho Libre, I believe in, or his buddy, Stephen, I believe in science. Listen, if you believe in science, you're going to have a hard time walking in a spirit-filled life with God. All right? You can't reason with faith. Here's another one. Where does unbelief go? Where rejection or abandonment has been. Everybody else can be blessed but me. Can I tell you where unbelief goes? It goes in places where there's been trauma. Because you continue to ask, why did this happen? God. Where does unbelief go? Where there is a desire for man's approval. In John chapter 5 and verse 44, it says, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and the only God? Can I tell you where unbelief goes? Where false doctrine has been preached. There's people like the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You've been taught because of your religious background that that is not real. And you can't open up truly to what God has in store for you because you have believed a false doctrine. Am I right? Oh, I'm right. You don't even have to tell me I am because I know I am. So, Pastor, how do you overcome this? I don't want anybody moving. Like, I'm going to ask you to stand up, but sometimes people take that as, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom. No, 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 no. I want all of us to stand up and stay right where you are. And I got eyes looking right now. I'm looking. I'm going to call you out. If you get up and move. Don't make me whip your good leg, Wendell. I'll do it right now. I'm watching. Because listen. Listen. You're like, Pastor, this really isn't for me. Yes, it is. It may not be for you right now. But there's a time coming. There's a time coming where the enemy's going to do everything he can to slip in. Can I tell you, as I talk to people, I hear unbelief all the time. I hear it. So how do we do this? Today, this morning, this is what we're going to do. We're going to repent. We're going to speak this off of our life. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. You know another way you do it is prayer and fasting. Pastor, how do you know that works? Because I do it. Because there's times where I need a special dose. I need to get rid of all the worldly things and say, God, I really need you to intervene. And I do believe, but I have all these distractions in my life that are causing me from helping me believe. Another thing is you meditate on the Word of God. You meditate on it. You chew on it. You got to start reading it to do that, though. Like I said, I'm so thankful for the Bible app, and I'm thankful for Craig Rochelle giving that to us. Like, I am. I get it, and I understand it. And that might help you. But I'm telling you, what would you do if you didn't have this? What would you do if you didn't have YouTube? What would you do if you didn't have that podcast app? What would you do? You're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. Get around the table. You know what would be good for America is if we got around the table as dads and we shared the Word of God. You know, the Lord convicted me. I got up for years early in the morning before everybody else down in the dungeon, read the Word. I've started to do this. Brandy and I both do it. I want when our kids to come downstairs, I want them to see us physically reading the Word. And then what we're going to do, we're going to meditate on the Word. Can I tell you the answer to unbelief is right here? The answer, it may be big, but it's not bigger than my God. Not only do you need to meditate on the Word, you need to declare the Word of God. In your home, like don't just have it in lipstick on your screen. Don't just have it as 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. Like say it out of your mouth. Love never fails. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror. You need to resist the spirit of unbelief. Resist. Here's another one. I want to encourage you. Those of you that pray in the Spirit, don't just come on Sunday and pray in the Spirit. When I said this morning, when I drive down Coulter, I pray in the Spirit. In my marriage, I pray in the Spirit. Come on, you want to come against the spirit of unbelief? For you to even pray in an unknown tongue, it takes belief to do that. And there's some of you like, whoa, you're treading on some... Listen, I'm talking about releasing the Spirit, so in the next couple of weeks... Y'all buckle up, get ready. Because this is how you're going to overcome these spirits that are trying to come inside of your house. So this is what I want to do. As a spiritual authority of this house, I am going to cast out unbelief out of this room. Like, I know some of y'all in here, I know your story. I know you've been through trauma. So have I. So have I. It was a little traumatic for me this morning. That was hard on me, I'll be honest with you. I'm like, Lord, why'd you call me to be a pastor? This sucks. I mean, really, it did. I was, Lord. But you know what? Then I started thinking about, oh man, he's on the streets of gold. He's in heavenly places. Oh, man. I don't mourn as the world mourns because I know he went to the Father. But what I'm getting at is this. I know there's some things that you've gone through in your life. And it's so be easy for you because of your upbringing to stay in a place of unbelief. But think about it. When belief comes in, people start get risen from the dead.
Amen.
When there's just two of us, you ain't gonna go into the land flowing with milk and honey. But when all 12 of us get on board,
amen.
Hey, all 12 of us get on board and we begin to believe, I believe in the miracles, signs, and wonders of Jesus Christ that they will happen in this house. I believe in the last days, he said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So I'm saying release the spirit of God in this hour, in this time, in this day. So lift your hands with me. God, I just pray right now. I come against the spirit of unbelief. I cast it out in Jesus' name. It has to go. And I pray belief rise up in our heart. Lord, I pray for dads right now. I pray, God, that they would believe so much that they would begin to pray with their spouse. I pray, Lord, that you're reconnecting people's hearts right now in Jesus' mighty name. There's people that's been on the fence. They put it on the shelf for long enough. But God, I pray that you would raise up a banner of victory in this room right now. I come against unbelief. I come against unbelief. Right now, I just pray, Lord, that you would sense in their heart that as they even leave from here, there would be little signs, just like Peter coming to the door. Show us little things. Lord, that you're here and you never leave us and you never forsake us. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we rely on you right now. And Lord, as the power that you've invested in me, Lord, to lead this flock and lead these people. Lord, you know it's in my heart that they would walk in victory in every area of their life. And so, Lord, I just speak belief in the room right now in Jesus' name. Belief in the room. Step out in faith in Jesus' name. Put your hands down. Lord, if you're in this room, sometimes there's just some of you. Will y'all look at me one more time? Sorry. I looked it up. I looked to see what Barna said. And this is what is mind-blowing to me in 2024, and I believe it. But what causes people to doubt Christianity? You know what the number one thing is? Hypocrisy ranks number one for non-Christians. Because they say one thing, they post one thing, but they do another. Now, I'm thankful for the grace of God. Amen. I mean, I'm so thankful. That person cuts me off in traffic. Like, I know some of you out there, you still give them the finger. But by all means, take the AOL sticker off your car. Take the Christian fish off. Listen, I'm just being real with you guys. Because how many of y'all have some sons and daughters and people that need to start serving God?
Amen.
You know how they'll come in? It's when they see people like you and me that leave a service on Sunday. That don't just lift their hands and do one thing in here and do something out there. You know what makes them believe? Is when you truly believe and you truly do it.
Yes. Amen.
There's a spirit of unbelief in the world today, and it's no other than from Christians. Come on, I'm talking to my own people right now. We've got to be better. We've got to be better. Like, if the waiter's good, tip them 30%. I know some of you are like, the Lord only asked for 10%, and I'm going to give Jackie 30. That's a whole different story for a different day. But I'm just saying, if you're coming out like you just got out of church, don't be a jerk. Come on, don't be an a-hole. Can I just be honest? Don't be that. People are not believing because you're not believing in your heart. So I'm going to ask the question this morning. With every head bowed, with every eye closed. If you don't believe, I cast out a spirit of unbelief. If you're not in here and you're not serving the Lord, I want you to just lift your hand and say, you know what? I need to come back to Jesus this morning. Lift your hand and say, you know what? I need to come back to Jesus. I'm a sinner. I haven't put it under the blood. Is there anybody? Praise God. I believe everybody's saved in this room. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Amen. Hey, this week I want to encourage you to believe. Yes. Believe that He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you dare ask or think or imagine. Amen. He's still in the miracle working business. Yep. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us on our podcast today. We pray that you heard from God and that this message was for you. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and leave us a review. It helps us reach more people with this message. Arena of Life takes pride in connecting to God, to church, and to people. And we want to connect with you. So don't forget to check us out on all social media platforms, to check out our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, and to download the Church Center app, and to choose Arena of Life as your church. And a special thanks to those who make a difference by giving generously. You help us change lives and produce weekly content like this that reaches the world. If you're interested in partnering with us, you can give by clicking the link in our bio, through the website arenaoflifechurch.org, or through the Church Center app. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and we'll see you next week.